Hi from El Salvador. We're Jared and Kelly Mueller, for those of you who don't know who we are. We're missionaries here with our two boys, Ezra and Ben Mueller.
Yeah, it's actually Mother's Day here. We just finished watching the live service, and we wanted to send a video up to greet you. We're actually up here in our garden. You can't see behind, but I've been planting corn with Benjamin, my younger son, and we're in a beautiful time of year. Just started back to the rainy season, so everything's green and fresh. Unfortunately, we don't get to get out that much to experience it, but doing the best we can in our house here.
Yeah, so here in El Salvador, we've been in quarantine since March 21st, even sooner than that with the boys, March 12th. Jared and I are allowed to leave, but there's only certain days that we can leave. We have our IDs that they check, and on specific days, the last number of your ID, you're allowed to leave. So that's kind of the situation here, just a tiny bit of what's going on here. And we sure miss and love our church family here very, very much, but we continue to stay connected to them. We continue to check on them, feed them when we can feed them. And we want to thank you for partnering with us in helping feed people here. We know that is a huge sacrifice and also a huge blessing on our part. We just want to thank you for being a part of that.
Yeah, and gratefully, some of our pastors in the rural area in Usulutan have had favor with the authorities and are unable to circulate. So thanks to the donation from Hope Chapel Huntington Beach and other donors, we've been able to send ganastas básicas, which are just the basic food items and soap and other things like that, to 112 families already through our churches. Some of those families more than once, twice or three times we've been able to send it through our pastors. So thank you very much for helping us to do that. We're really looking forward to when we can get out again. We feel like God is stirring some things up in the churches here, and in our church specifically, had an incredible meeting with them last night talking about launching our first home groups. We're going to call them similar to what we used to have there in Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, mini churches, but house churches. They were going to be shaping our people today. Today I have my last OSL Level 3 call. We still continue with discipleship. I've put my teachings online and we connect by Zoom. So we're finding new ways to minister to our people, but we're grateful for what this transition is going to help us accomplish in the future. So thanks for your support. And our plans right now, the airport's still officially closed, but we're hoping to get up to California and reconnect with Hope Chapel and some other churches and family and some friends and supporters later on in the fall this year. So be praying for us that we're able to do that, that we're able to get up there. We love you guys and we appreciate you guys. And thank you so much for your support. Thank you to the Missions Committee and the Church Council and all that you guys do to keep ministry thriving in California and keep us here on the field.
Yeah, we sure love and miss you guys.
Well, good morning. I love having a little video from the Muellers. It is so good to see them and all the work that they're doing. If you have not met the Mueller family yet, I want to encourage you to write them a little love note or make sure to check in when they come visit us here in Huntington Beach. So great job, Muellers. We love you. Well, today, now more than ever, we have got to know our why. The Muellers know their why, obviously. But we've got to know our why and what it is we are doing and our purpose and our calling. Although this COVID-19 has been tragic, it's been exhausting to listen to, it's been confusing, it's been left many of us jobless, it's isolated us from others and a variety of other serious inconveniences. All that being said, I love one thing it's doing. And that one thing, in my opinion, that it's doing in this pandemic season is it's revealing our need to know our calling, to reclaim our calling, to do our calling that God has given us. And that is the title of my message today, Reclaim the Call. Okay? Have you guys heard that song from the early 90s? In the secret, in the quiet place, I want to know you more. That's one of the reasons why I don't sing on the worship team. But it is actually an amazing worship song. It is so solid, and there are so many biblical points that are just absolutely truthful. I love that song. It's reminded me of my high school, junior high days, but it's still so, so, so good. In the secret, in the quiet place. That leads me to my first point. The call comes in the quiet. The call comes in the quiet. Let's look at the book. Let's read Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. This is where Moses is getting his call, okay? I'm reading out of the NLT today because I love it. You read out of whatever version, electronic or paper that you've got. Here we go, okay? Chapter 3, verse 1 through 4 says, "One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far from the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. 'This is amazing,' Moses said to himself. 'Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it.' When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called him from the middle of the bush. 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses says, 'Here I am.'" I love this scripture. The call comes in the quiet. Look at the first verse here. It says, "He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to the mountain." Okay? God loves the quiet spaces with you. Right now, in this moment, as I'm speaking to you, I want you to text or talk to someone the last time you got a calling in a quiet place. Where was that quiet place? People need to know that. You need to know that. You need to be reminded of that. But I love this where he's just like, he's isolated. He's alone. I don't know if it's day. I don't know if it's night, but it's intimate. And I love that. Far away in the wilderness, and Lord speaks. Okay? The calling comes in the quiet. Let's look at another one. In Jeremiah 1, 4, and 8. "The Lord gave me this message." Okay, we're in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 8. "The Lord gave me this message. 'I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations.' 'O sovereign Lord,' I said, 'I can't speak for you. I'm too young.' The Lord replied, 'Don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and I will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken.'" I love this. Look at the first verse again. It says, "The Lord gave me this message." This is a one-on-one conversation. The quiet places is where the Lord loves to speak intimately to you. Okay? It's personal. Oftentimes, it's so personal and private when God gives you that calling. Look at all the biblical examples. We have Moses, we've got Jeremiah, we've got Mary, we've got Jonah, we've got Nehemiah, we've got all these people that have had this intimate, personal, quiet calling experience. Oftentimes, not public. Oftentimes, not in a group. Although the Lord can speak to you whenever, why ever, however, with whoever, he loves to do it in the quiet. Where is your quiet place? Don't forget it. Schedule it. No worship music. No cell phones. No walking the dog. Or maybe walking the dog. Strap your kids in a stroller so that they're contained. Be in a place where you have limited distractions. He loves speaking in the quiet. I want to encourage you to do this. Even today, tonight, after today's sermon, walk around your block, just speaking to him, listening to him. A great way to enter into this is just starting that conversation by saying, "Lord, I'll do whatever you say even before I know why. I'll cut the check and sign my name. You tell me the amount. I'll go to this location, even if I don't know how I'm going to get there." This is the way to enter into a calling kind of conversation, okay? And as many of you know, the calling you get doesn't just come easily as you walk through it. You've got to be committed to it. And that leads me to my point number two. Stick to the call. Stick to the call. Now, for those of you that don't know me, I'm a youth pastor here at Hope Chapel, but I also run a nonprofit with my wife called Surfing the Nations here in Huntington Beach. And we came from Hawaii running Surfing the Nations there, and we felt that we were called to be here to start a new location. Now, there's a lot of stories and a lot of time and a lot of processing that we went through to do that. But more or less, our nonprofit is really about discipling people, training people. Essentially, our business model is we need people, we live in community with people, we serve other people with people, and we adventure together with people. Now, there's a lot of ways we do that with curriculum and adventures and outreaches and things. But in a nutshell, that's what we do. We need people to help people. So this whole COVID pandemic has really got us thinking. Like, how are we going to do this if we can't get people to come be with us, okay? So as our beaches here in Orange County closed, about 2 weeks ago, a hard closure, that really just, it took the wind out of my sails. I was in my quiet place, and I have two quiet places. One is my walks. I love doing prayer walks with my wife. Some of the most intimate time with the Lord, some of the most romantic time with my wife, just talking about real life things that we're going to do as a family that we feel like God is calling us to do. I was in the shower late at night after a long day of work, and I was like, well, now what am I going to do? Like, why am I even doing this, God? Honestly, like, why did I leave Hawaii? We were the last kind of county to have our beaches open, and we love to adventure with people, and now my beaches are closed. Like, literally, how am I going to get people to come here? I can't get people to serve other people now because of all this social distancing and whatnot, and now I can't even lure them here with adventures like the beach that we have, our world-famous beach here in Huntington Beach. What am I going to do? My wind had left my sails in the shower in that quiet place. And it was a time where I could not only kind of vent with God, but you know what was amazing was because I know my calling, I was easily able to default back to that. Okay? I was easily able to decide but claim out loud, what am I not called to? What are you not called to? Do you even know that? Do you know what you're not supposed to do? A very interesting question that many people don't ask themselves very often. Why do you do what you do? Those of you that have lost a job or maybe been furloughed, I personally believe this is an amazing, amazing chance for you to do what you've been called to do. You would have maybe never taken the risk to do what God has called you to do because you've been in the grind, the routine, the monotony, the excitement. It could be good distractions or bad distractions, but this is a season for those of you especially that have lost a job to say, God, what have you called me to do? Or I know I was supposed to do that. This is your opportunity. Praise God for that. That's amazing. So I want to encourage you, don't be distracted. Don't wait to be sure, move in faith. Okay, let me read that again. Don't be distracted. There's a lot of stuff happening. The beach is closed. I was distracted. The wind had left my sails. My sails were luffing. Okay? Don't wait to be sure. When you wait to be sure, is this the calling? Should I? Could I? You've actually made your first mistake. You've already started doubting God. Take action. Faith is action. Move forward. Fail forward. It's okay. Okay? God loves the wilderness. God loves the quiet places. God loves action. Okay? So move in faith. Now, I love this quote. Remember, you cannot call him Lord if you really just treat him like a bellboy. Here you go. Take my suitcase, sir. Can you take this over here for me? We're going up over this way. That is not a Lord. That's a bellboy. You cannot call him Lord if you treat him like a bellboy. Maturity is key to sticking to our calling here. Maturity is so key to sticking to our calling. Remember in John, it says, my lambs know my voice and do what I say. Wrong. It doesn't say lambs. It says sheep. Maturity is key in knowing your calling and who is calling you. Okay? Be a sheep, not a lamb. Well, if you're mature, then you know life is going to get a little crazy, which leads me to my third point. It's going to get wild. It's going to get wild, okay? It's for sure, 100%, somewhere along the line, going to get wild, okay? Let's look at 1 Kings 17, okay? Starting in verse 2. This is the beginning of Elijah's call, okay? We're hopping around a bit, but my point here is to show you that there have been many examples of amazing people with crazy callings on their life that we just so happen to nonchalantly read about often. But let's look at this. 1 Kings 17, starting in verse 2. This is the start of Elijah's calling. It says, then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by the Kereth Brook near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside Kereth Brook, east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. But after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. The Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So he went there. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks. And he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? As she was going to get it, he called her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. But Elijah says to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left for you. This is wild to me. This is crazy. I can't even comprehend being Elijah. What does that even look like? My mind goes to you guys seeing me under the pier and seagulls are delivering leftover Whopper patties to me every morning and night and leftover buns of burgers and bread until God says, go over here. And then from there, from a physical extreme situation, he takes me to kind of like an extremely potential frictional relationship conversation. So I go from living like that, this is wild, getting the original DoorDash ravens delivering you food, to then going to finding a widow, someone that's already been through something crazy in their life, lost something heavy, lost someone important, and is caring for someone and saying, hey, will you feed me? And then they respond, actually, I'm about to die. And you say, don't worry about it. Can you still feed me? I don't know which one is more wild. If you're an introvert, maybe the relationship situation is more wild. If you're an extrovert or a wilderness person, maybe that's more wild for you, living off of what a bird delivers to you. But it's wild. The beginning of his call, the beginning of his calling is wild. And it's hard to comprehend. But my point here is it will be wild when you have that calling, when you're walking through that calling. It's gonna be wild at times, just like we're in this season right now with the corona. It is wild for people. Let's look at Luke 8, 1 through 3. Okay? Total different angle of approach about how a calling could be wild. So Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 3 says, soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons, Jonah, the wife of Chuza, Herod's business manager, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and the disciples. Easily read over. Wow, cool. Jesus is starting his tour, his mission, his calling. This is cool. He's continuing what he's doing. But when you look at that, it's like, that's crazy. Like, he had a very unique, eclectic group of people he was traveling with. Many scholars believe that the disciples themselves were teenage boys, many of them. Let alone, now he's letting you guys know a little bit more. He had crazy ladies with him. He had ladies that were healed from demons, diseases. And this was his band. This was his caravan. That's wild. And I'm not saying he didn't disciple. I'm not saying he didn't teach. But he moved with people around him to do crazy, wild things. And they themselves were unique and crazy and former possessed. Like, this is wild to me. We're not always going to have the perfect people in our lives to perform our calling, but God will provide the right kind of people. So my challenge here is to the ladies. Ladies, we need you to go. It's biblical. It's historical. You've always been going along with Jesus and supporting him. You've got that innate, mothering, caring, hospitable, generous DNA strand in you, ladies. And especially you crazy ladies, or ladies that have had crazy testimonies, we want you to go and do wonderful things in your community with Hope Chapel or whoever it is you may be ministering with. It is so important. So ladies, that's my call to you. Go somewhere wild, do something crazy with each other, and support your community, love your community, find your calling, find someone that's doing your calling and jump on board. This is an amazing yet wild example of who Jesus was cruising with, okay? Now that leads me to my fourth point. Be strong, okay? Be strong. So many times in the Word we see this. Be strong, be courageous, be strong, be courageous. Look at just Joshua chapter 1:1-9. This is where Joshua gets his charge, his kind of new calling. Okay, fun fact here before we kind of get into that is this calling and charge actually comes to him after his mentor Moses has died. Okay, imagine that. The person you look to the most that's been leading you has just died. And now, boom, you've got a new calling. It wasn't like sulk. It wasn't say, stay at home and process this for years and months and weeks. I don't know the timing here, but my point is it still came. And he still responded, okay? So let's look at kind of what God's going to do for him in this. There's two equations to this. What does Joshua need to do? And what is God going to do? Okay, so what is God going to do? He's not going to leave him. He's going to protect him. He's not going to fail him. He's going to give him the promises that he said he was going to give him. He's going to make him successful. Okay, there are a variety of things he's going to do. He is committed to do for this calling. Now, there's also a variety of things, as I said, that Joshua is going to need to do. But I love this. He says, be strong, be courageous. This is my command, verse 9. This is my command, be strong, be courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is directly applicable to all the other points we are just reading about, just talking about. I could imagine this verse being applied in Jesus' life, even just like working with disciples, working with ladies, working with demon-possessed, like just go. Keep going. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Be courageous, aka be bold. Do crazy things for me, okay? I love it. This verse has really gotten me through this corona season for my wife and I and our work with Surfing the Nations. Like, okay, we can do it. He promised us this. We're going to do it. He did that. We're going to do it. He did this. We're going to do it. And I want to encourage you in your life right now, this is so important. With your family, with your coworkers, really, really be strong. Be courageous. He is going to take care of you, but you need to be connected to the calling. Okay? Let's look at this one. Look at Haggai. Haggai chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. I might gum up some of these names, but bear with me. It says, "But now the Lord says, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people still left in the land. Now get to work, for I am with you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. My spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt, so do not be afraid." I love this. God is such a classic father figure. He's like, "I love you. Be strong. It's going to be okay. Now get back to work." You know, it's like he loves people, but he loves people doing his calling. I like that he says, "Now get to work. Get to work. Keep moving. Be strong. Meet me in the quiet place. Go where it's wild. Now get to work. Use your skills, use your giftings, and get to work." That is all about calling. And if you don't know your calling, you're not going to be able to do that effectively, efficiently, or for maximum impact, okay? So I want to encourage you, get to work. Let's personalize this. Be strong, all you people still left in California. Now get to work. Maybe that's for Newsom, Governor Newsom. "For I am with you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And my spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of the COVID-19 experience. So do not be afraid." It's fun to personalize these verses for us, okay? So in closing today, I hope to have inspired you of how important it is to reclaim that calling or to find that calling or to fight for that calling. Use this wildly unique season we're in right now to get not only closer to friends and family, but to get closer with him. He loves obedience. He loves talking to you. But he loves a deep friendship with you. He wants to be connected to you. And part of that comes through calling. Okay? If you are unsure if you've had a calling, or maybe you've finished a calling and you're like, "I don't know what I'm doing next," or maybe you don't even know if you had a calling, I want you to apply this message now, today. Ask God literally in this moment or at the end of this sermon, "God, what do you think of my life?" I recently just heard that phrase, just like that. "What do you think of my life?" And it really just struck me. It's like, whoa, what do you think of my life actually? "What do you want me to do? And I'll do it." It doesn't matter if he says something short and specific or huge and vague. The point is to just get in tune with him. If you don't know what your calling is, or maybe you have to figure out what the new calling is, email us the word calling. It's as simple as that, so we can pray for you and your calling. Comment below or on Facebook Live if you're watching that. Comment calling. We want you to tell us that that's what you're desiring, okay? Now, if you don't know Jesus, I want to invite you today to start a friendship with him. He's the most generous, adventurous, and loving guy I know. Start today by just saying, "Lord, I need you in my life. I want to do what you want me to do. I don't know what's next. I don't know how to figure that out. And I want a calling. I want to be radically relevant for my family and friends. I want to care for them. I want to love them. And I need your help." Just start with that. That is all you need to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So if that's you today, and you don't even know Jesus, then you're definitely going to be confused potentially on your calling, especially in weird seasons like this. So comment below Jesus or email us at just say Jesus. We know that you just accepted Jesus and you want Jesus in your life, or maybe you've made a fresh commitment to Jesus, okay? Lots of stuff is happening in our lives right now, and I have been so encouraged and so just fired up on this topic about calling. People have felt handcuffed in this season because of social distancing rules or regulations and jobs being closed. And first, like, what do I do now? Well, you still do your calling. No one ever said it was going to be difficult or wild or weird or creative, but you still need to do your calling. And I want to encourage you today to get excited about that. We've seen countless examples in this study that I've been preparing for this, from Jonah to Mary to Elijah to Jeremiah to Paul, like to David, to just countless people that have these wild life stories because they were committed to the call that they got in the quiet place. So I am excited about that, and I want you to be excited about that. So thank you for watching today. Thank you for tuning in today. Now, just before we go to our next section, Pastor Paul is going to come up, and we're excited to show with you guys some highlights of our amazing Hope Chapel missionaries and their incredible callings. So check it out.
Once again, friends, I want to welcome you back. Paul Harmon here, pastor of Hope Chapel. This has been an outstanding Mission Sunday. And to have Pastor Zach Iflin bring the message, what an outstanding message that is. We've already had our address by our GO committee director, Sean Knight. Wonderful ministry of worship led by the McPhees. We're thrilled with what God's doing here at Hope Chapel. And you just saw a list of tremendous people who have answered the call of God on their life. And Hope Chapel, your church, those of you who call Hope Chapel your home church, we help partner with these individuals that are doing exploits around the world. They're answering their call. They're doing that wild and crazy call of theirs. And we believe in them. We believe what they're doing and bringing the gospel of the kingdom. Wasn't it tremendous how the Lord brought about a great message? I really took note when Pastor Zach mentioned in Luke chapter 8, verse 1, says, "Now it came to pass afterwards that Jesus went through every city and village preaching and bringing glad tidings of the kingdom of God." It's an amazing thing, and I really do believe this is the time for us to continue on the task of bringing a solid message of hope, good news to people, especially in this time. So I just want to invite you once again. We are asking you who are part of Hope Chapel, as is our custom on a Mission Sunday, let's continue to give online securely. You'll see there that there's even a list of the missionaries that we partner with. We know, too, that we want to be mindful of the storehouse. Our tithe goes into the storehouse, you who call Hope Chapel your home church. And then beyond that tithe means a tenth. Beyond that, that's where we get a chance to say, how much, Lord, do you want me to give to meet the needs of others around the world? Our church council on Thursday night, met with our three church planters, and we were just so proud with what they're doing. We don't have to reach the strategic areas of El Salvador with the Muellers. We don't have to go and reach the strategic area of Mexico that the Godwins are doing. We don't have to reach the strategic area of Westminster like Jesus House and the Jais are doing. But we sure are honored to release those individuals to do exploits, wild and crazy calls. And I want to thank you who are a part of that and helping us have great vision in answering the call. Well, today I want to encourage you, please pray about, be generous, and let's together reach beyond even Huntington Beach. For you and I who are here in Huntington Beach, I want to announce today that we will be beginning drive-through prayer. We are slowly reopening our pursuit into our city, and so drive-through prayer will begin on Monday, right there, Monday from 10 till noon. So drive-through prayer will happen Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 to noon, right here, curbside of our facility at 715 Lake Street, Huntington Beach. And so I want to encourage you. You might say, well, boy, distance will never allow me to get to that location. We're going to have call-in prayer Tuesday and Thursday, 10 to noon. So once again, call-in prayer will happen for you who feel, I need prayer and I need assistance. So would you go ahead and call the number of the church is 714-536-1614. Again, the number to dial on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 714-536-1614. So let me just rehearse what we're doing now as we are continuing to approach prayer for our community and beyond, because many of you are watching way out of even the nation of America. We want to thank you for you who are watching in Australia, you who are watching in South Central America. Man, it's amazing to hear from people in Finland and Sweden, Canada. And so we want to believe that if you're needing prayer, call us. We are just 2 weeks away now on this date from Pentecost Sunday. If you're needing prayer, if you're needing the power of the Holy Spirit, wow, what a great way. Let's gather together and seek prayer for you and believe for the power of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Zach's message, a wild and crazy call. Jesus told his followers, you've got a testimony, but don't go till you receive power from on high. You can go, but don't go. Why, God? Because you need power to be my witnesses. So again, I want to highlight and celebrate. We are opening up, once again, drive-through prayer Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And that'll be 10 till 12 noon. And then call-in prayer on Tuesday and Thursday, 10 to 12 noon, both days. So I want to thank you for being a part of our services today. It's a wonderful day. What a great thing God is doing through all of us collectively. The good news of the love of God is going out. And I want to welcome your involvement. And if God has touched your heart today, please let us know. We'll have an address on how you can go about doing that. And I want to thank you. Let me pray off a blessing right now. Father in heaven, we love you. We want to thank you right now. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you, and thank you for joining us today. I want to thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach today. It's our desire to share the teachings of Hope Chapel globally and to hear how they empower others to follow Jesus. If today's message encouraged you to follow Jesus, we want to know. You can email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. If you'd like to support us financially, you can give online securely at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can mail that check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. We hope that you would be interested in having us contact you. You can subscribe to our newsletter by going online at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. I want to thank you, and God bless you.